بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Verily all praises are due to Allah and Allah alone. We lord Him and we praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in what you said, there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. Before going into what we're going to be doing on Friday at this time after Asr, inshaAllah, before going into that, I think that the very first thing that I want you brothers to get into your minds and your hearts is that we are coming together to mutually cooperate, trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one of the best forms of ibadah, or the best forms of worship. It's just like we come together for prayer. It's just like we come together to break the fast in Ramadan. It's just like we come together to go to make Umrah and Hajj. All of those are acts of worship. This getting knowledge is also an act of worship, and even it is an act of worship that is better than the nafil salat that we make. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he was teaching the people, and after the class was almost over, the man made the adhan for Salat al-Isha. One of Al-Imam Malik's students stood up in order to go to pray the rak'ah of the adhan. Al-Imam Malik said to him, "Where are you going?" The man said, "I'm about to go over here in order to pray the nafil of Salat." Al-Imam Malik said to him, "Verily what you're going to leave," meaning the knowledge, "what you're leaving is better than that which you are going to." So we are coming together to get this knowledge, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing, ikhwan, is I need your attention to be with me at all times. I'm not coming here to entertain you people, because 24 hours in a day is not enough for me. We all can find something better to do. So therefore, none of you should be shy or afraid, or you should feel that you're going to be put on the spot and therefore you're not going to participate. No. The places of knowledge are places where people come and they have an aggressive approach and an aggressive attitude. With that being the case, I will take the time out to say to someone, what do you think about that, ya akhi? I will take the time out to say to someone who's sleeping, ya akhi, get up, make wudu, change your position. I will say to someone who's sitting in the way that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us in sitting, like with your left hand behind your back and you're leaning back on your left palm. I will say to the person doing the class, change your sitting and so forth and so on, because, well, again, we're not coming here just to talk and to waste time. So that's why we told the people you should bring the notebook and you should bring the Quran. Here on out, inshallah, you should bring the notebook as well as the Quran. As far as your wives are concerned and the sisters are concerned, this class is just as important to them as it is to us. So you guys should go back home and you should start discussing this issue amongst yourselves to see if you understand and how much you understand. So what are we going to deal with? We are going to deal with, inshallah ta'ala, what is the reason that we consider ourselves to be upon the minhaj as-salafi? Why do we consider ourselves to be Salafi? What does that mean? There are a few things that I want to say. First of all, this is a class where we talk about what we are upon. So if someone comes here from Jamaat al-Tabligh while the class is going on, we're not going to modify the course that we have started for ourselves. If someone comes here from Goldenrod, from Jamaat Masjid, we're not going to modify what we're going to say. We're going to call to that which we believe in, because alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala, from His ni'mah and His fadl, He has given the Dawah al-Salafiyah a member from which it has power. We just ask Allah to strengthen it and keep it in its position. During the course of the week, I have asked a few brothers some questions, like, what are the proofs? Why do we call ourselves Salafi? What does it mean? I saw that most people, they really didn't have the ability to articulate and to explain based upon proofs. So therefore, we're going to go slow. Luqman, we're going to go very slow. We're not interested in giving you a lot of information that you can't recall, that you don't understand, that's over your head. Now, we're going to go slow, and before going on to the next point, we're going to ask, do you understand? And if you understand, you should be able to explain it back in your own words. In your own words, to prove and to show that you do understand. Our brother Abu Nur Ridwan al-Shami, Jazahullah Khairah, after Salat al-Fajr every day, he gives a talk. We used to alternate, but for the last 2 days he's been giving some talks about al-Tawheed. After the week went by, he questioned some of the brothers. Alhamdulillah, it was clear some of the brothers knew. If there wasn't a problem in the language, or the question that was being asked wasn't ambiguous, the brothers knew what they were talking about. But there were other people who were kind of shy. They didn't want to respond. We don't want to have a class like that. We want to have a class here today and the coming days, inshallah, where people who sit on the perimeters and people who sit on the outside, they say, هَؤُلَاءِ طُلَّابُ الْعِلْمِ حَقًّا. Those brothers are real students of knowledge. Those brothers are really students of knowledge. So, we're going to begin, inshallah ta'ala. Again, we're going to refer back to the Quran, give you the surah, give you the ayah, so that you yourself will be able to go back and read it in the noble Quran, so that you can go back yourself and memorize it even in Arabic. As for the word Salafi, Salafi, I don't know, maybe we should have been over there, huh? As for the word Salafi, S-A-L-A-F-I, we have proof from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will allow us to use this word with the implication and the meaning that we need when we say that we are Salafi. What's the proof? It comes to us in an authentic hadith that you can write as hadith number one. And this hadith was narrated by the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wahiya Fatima al-Zahra. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened and what I want you to do is pay attention, because if you understand what I'm saying, you can write your notes your own way, so that you can identify, you once you look at it, you know what it is related to. So you don't have to sit there and keep writing, because you're going to miss a lot of what we're saying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his deathbed. He was about to die. And you can find this story in the Quran. You can find this story in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, and Nisa'i, Tirmidhi. All those hadith talk about the things that took place when he was dying. And I tell you, anytime you read about those hadith, about his death, you need to pay attention to the things that he focused upon. Like the hadith that said, he had the thing tied around his head, and he would lose consciousness, and then he woke up and he said, As-salah, as-salah. And then he would lose consciousness, and he would wake up and he would say, As-salah, as-salah. So when he mentioned that on his deathbed, you know it's important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dying in another hadith, because they're going to narrate to us all the details. He was dying, lying on the bed. He was on Aisha's side. He woke up to see one of the Sahabas coming in the door with a miswak, and he was doing this with his teeth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so weak, because he was about to die, he motioned to the man to tell him, give me that miswak. He took the miswak on his deathbed, and he started making the miswak. Shows you the importance of the miswak in Al-Islam. So we have so many examples of the things he mentioned. Anyway, when he was about to die, of course his daughter Fatima was sad. And she was crying. And you all know that he had whispered something in her ear that caused her to cry. And then he whispered something in her ear after that to cause her to smile. Later on, after his death, she was asked, "What caused you to do that?" She said, "He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first whispered to me and told me that he was going to die. He was going to meet Allah. So I became sad and I started crying. And then after that, when he saw me crying, he said to me, 'You will be the first member of my family that will meet me in paradise.' And so I became happy at that, and I began to laugh." In this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this shows and proves what we're talking about. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Fatima, فَإِنَّهُ نِعْمَ السَّلَفُ أَلَى لَكِ. He said to her, "Verily, I am a blessed Salafi to you. I am a blessed Salaf to you, Fatima." And he used the word as-Salaf. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his tongue the word Salaf. So it's unlike any other group where the people call themselves al-Mu'tazila, where the people call themselves al-Shia, where the people call themselves al-Asha'ira, where the people call themselves al-Sufiya, where the people call themselves al-Shadhiliya, al-Burhaniya, where the people call themselves any other group, Ikhwani, where the people call themselves Hizbu Tahriri, where the people call themselves Jamaat al-Tablighi. All of those names came, and you will not find the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given any authentic or authority to use it, and there are no proof Quran and in the Sunnah that would support that, except that the people turn around the meaning. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Fatima, "I am a blessed Salaf to you." There's another hadith that said that when the Prophet's daughter Zainab, hadith number 2, the Prophet's daughter Zainab, when she was about to die, this hadith said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his daughter Zainab, who we talked about today in the khutbah, she was the one who her child was about to die, and she told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come. He said, "Tell her, Allah takes back what he gave." Then she swore by Allah and asked him to come by Allah. Then he went to her with all of those companions. It's that same woman. When she was about to die, and she was the wife of who? Who married Zainab? Which companion was the husband of Zainab? Bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yahya. Which companion married Zainab? Salman. Naam? Uthman. Jazakallahu khairan ya Salman. MashaAllah. Uthman married Zainab. He married both of the daughters of the wife of the both of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kulthum. And then he married Zainab. And that's why he's called Zu Nurain, the possessor of the two lights. This hadith said that when Zainab was about to die, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, this hadith said, Ilhaqi bi salafin as-salih, Uthman ibn Mad'un. This hadith is in Ahmad. And the meaning of it is that it said that he said to his daughter when she was dying or when she died, "Go and catch up to our righteous predecessor, Salaf al-Salih, whose name is Uthman ibn Mad'un." You write that how you want it. He said to her, when she died, "Go and catch up to our righteous predecessor, who is Uthman ibn Mad'un." Uthman ibn Mad'un had died prior to that. So the Prophet, as if he's saying, now you're going to be with him as well. Ikhwan, pay attention to this very important point. And that point is, hadith number 2 that I just gave you, which has been collected by Imam Ahmed, it is a weak hadith. It's not authentic. It is a weak hadith. And we're not using it except to establish what? To establish that this hadith has come to us through the chain of narration. And that chain of narration has men that go back all the way to the time of the Tabi'in. Imam Ahmed, who narrated the hadith, he had a sheikh who told him that hadith. Ahmed's teacher told him that hadith. And his teacher got the hadith from the tabi'in. So that goes to show that the word Salaf al-Saleh and the concept was something that was known at least back then. Or how can they even say it? Even though the hadith is not authentic, you have this statement. You understand the point that I'm trying to make? The hadith is not authentic, but you have people of the past, far back as Imam Ahmed's time and before Imam Ahmed's time, up into the tabi'een, where they were using this concept. So even though the hadith is weak and it's not from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the usage of the word as Salaf al-Saleh was something that the people knew in the past. If it wasn't, how do we have this hadith that you can date it back all the way to the time of Imam Ahmed? So don't think that the hadith is wrong. We're only bringing the hadith to show you that the usage of the phrase. After that, ikhwan, in the language of Arabic, there's a book that is written in Arabic. It is considered to be the most important book if you want to know any Arabic word. For an example, this brother's name is Zulqarnain. I want to find out, what is Al-Qarnain? What is the Qarn? What does it mean? I can go to this book and find it out. This brother's name is Yahya. I want to find out what my name Yahya means. I can go to this Arabic dictionary to find out. It is the best dictionary. Does anyone know the name of that dictionary? Nah. It's called Lisan al-Arab. This is the major, most important dictionary, which means, translated, the tongue of the Arab. This man who wrote this book, his name was Ibn Manzur. He brought us the meaning of the word Salaf. Ibn Manzur. He said, and I quote what he wrote in his book, given the meaning of the word as Salaf. He said, وَالصَّلَفْ أَيْضًا مَنْ تَقَدَّمَكَ مِنْ آبَائِكَ وَذَوِي قَرَابَتِكَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فَوْقُكَ فِي السِّنِّ وَالْفَضْلِ وَلِهَذَا سُمِّيَ الصَّدْرُ الْأَوَّلُ مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ الصَّدْرُ الصَّالِحُ. He said, the meaning of the Salaf also, the meaning of this word is, every person who preceded you and came before you from your father and your relatives, those people who are older than you in their age and in virtue. And for that reason, the first people of this community from the tabi'een are called the Salaf al-Saleh. Should I say that again?
No.
He said that the meaning of Salaf given us today, we want to know in Arabic, what does it mean, Salaf? He said the meaning of that is everyone who preceded you, everyone who came before you from your father and your relatives, those people who are above you in age and in virtue. And for that reason, the first group from amongst the tabi'een are called the Salaf al-Saleh. Why? Because now, Salman, the tabi'een is the second generation that came after Rasulullah, after the companions. We're going to come to that insha'Allah. And that is in Lisan al-Arab, that statement. Are you guys with me so far? Should I stop to explain something? Re-explain something? After that, ikhwan, we want to now, Ahmed.
One more time.
Definition. He said that the meaning of the word Salaf is everyone who preceded you from your father and your relatives. As it relates to us, your great-great-grandfather, our ancestors who were brought on the boat, they are considered to be the Salaf because they preceded us. Us, directly. That's the meaning of the word. All of those people who preceded you from your father and the people who were present during their time, those people who are older than you in age and in virtue. And he went on to say, and that's why the first group from the tabi'een were called the Salaf al-Saleh. So it goes to show what? That he's explaining the usage of the word as Salaf can apply to that word where we say we're Salafi. Because those companions, just like our fathers, just like our relatives in the past, our ancestors, they preceded us. They preceded us in the age, they were before us, and in virtue. And because of that meaning, the people call the people from the first generation the righteous predecessors. Now I want you to pay attention to this next issue because it goes to show. Now, Abdul Malik,
can you tell me a question about the word Salaf? Where does the word Khalif fit in?
We got to come to that later.
Okay.
Now, Imam al-Bukhari said in his book, there was a man by the name of Rashid ibn Sa'd. Imam al-Bukhari brought this in his book of hadith. He brought this statement of this man whose name is Rashid ibn Sa'd. Al-Bukhari brought in his book, so you can understand, the statement of Rashid ibn Sa'd. What did Rashid ibn Sa'd say? And Imam al-Bukhari brought this statement in which he said that Rashid ibn Sa'd said, كان السلف يستحبون الفحول لأنها أجرى وأجسر. Rashid ibn Sa'd, he said, the Salaf used to like the male court for jihad, of course. The Salaf used to like using and having the male horse for jihad because you get more reward for it. Adnan, what do you understand from that? What do you understand from the statement of Rashid ibn Sa'd? كان السلف يستحبون الفحول لأنها أجرى وأجسر. What are we trying to prove here? Al Imam Rashid ibn Sa'd, this man, he's from the Tabi'een. He's from the second generation of people who came after the companions. Rashid ibn Sa'd, he's from the Tabi'een. So here he is from the Tabi'een, meaning he took his knowledge from the companions of the Prophet. He said the Salaf used to like the male horse. So it goes to show what? It goes to show that the Salaf are the Sahabas, even to the Tabi'een, because the Sahabas preceded them. Not important, because it's in Fath al-Bari, and you guys have no access to that. Fath al-Bari is the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, and if you guys want, I can start bringing those numbers if you want, but you'll never be able to go back to get it. So the point here is, Rashid ibn Sa'd is from the Tabi'een, and he said that the Salaf used to like the male horse. So if he's from the Tabi'een and he's saying that the Salaf, he's talking about who? So the Salaf to him were the Sahabas because they preceded him. Again, a proof that they used to use this word even amongst the Tabi'een. The next point is another statement that Imam al-Bukhari brings in his book. And this statement, he is talking about the statement of Imam al-Zuhri. Al-Zuhri is A-Z hyphen Z-U-H-R-Y. Al-Zuhri. Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri was a high power scholar. Anyway, Al-Imam al-Bukhari brings in his book, Sahih al-Bukhari, the statement of Al-Imam al-Zuhri, which was, the statement of al-Zuhri was, أَدْرَكْتُ نَاسٍ مِنْ سَلَفِ الْعُلَمَاءِ يَمْتَشِكُونَ بِهَا وَيَدَّهِنُونَ فِيهَا لَا يَرُونَ بَأْسًا. He was talking about the opinion of the bones of those animals like the elephant. If you came upon an elephant that was dead and he had the bones, and Imam al-Zuhri said concerning those bones, what you can do with it. He said, I met some of the people from the Salaf who used to take those bones and they used to comb their hair. They would make a comb out of it, out of those bones. And they would get also, they would get oil from it, like to oil themselves. Somehow put their perfume in a small bone and they would use it as a holder or a container for their perfume. They didn't see anything wrong with that. and Imam al-Zuhri said, I met some people from the Salaf who used to make the comb out of those bones. And they used to use those bones to be the containers of their oil. Said, man, when I come out of the room to come to the minbar on Friday, he's standing there and he's putting the oil on the people. That thing that he has, that container, they used to use those bones for that. And Imam al-Zuhri is from the Tabi'een, just like Rashid ibn Sa'd is from the Tabi'een. And al-Zuhri said, I met people from the Salaf, the ulama of the Salaf. If he's from the Tabi'een, who is he talking about, the ulama of the Salaf? Ahmed. What is the Tabi'een? Who are they?
The second generation.
If he's from the second generation, he said, I met the scholars from the Salaf. Who is he talking about? If he's a Tabi'een, when he say a scholar from the Salaf, who is he talking about? Some of the Sahaba. So the point again is you have the Tabi'een using this word Salaf. You understand, Ikhwan Mikhail? You with me?
Alhamdulillah.
The last point we want to make concerning this, Ikhwan, is what Al-Imam Muslim brought in his book. And he's bringing the statement of Al-Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Al-Imam Muslim in his book is bringing the statement of the Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, a scholar that we need to acquaint ourselves with to know what he was upon and what he was about, because he was a tremendous scholar, a tremendous mujahid, a tremendous mutasaddiq. He used to have a lot of money, he used to give the people sadaqah. He was everything. Allah blessed him with it. He said, دعوا حديث عمر بن ثابت فإنه كان يسب الصلاة. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said to the people, his students, he said, leave, do not narrate, leave the hadith of a man, his name is Amr, A-M-R, Ibn Thabit, T-H-A-A-B-I-T. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he said, leave the hadith of Amr ibn Thabit, for verily he used to curse the Salaf. He used to curse the Salaf. What's the meaning of that? Abdullah ibn Mubarak was from the scholars who came after the Tabi'in. He's one of those scholars of hadith who have the ability to talk about the men. You say Abdul Karim is reliable in his transmission. He'll say Abdul Rahman is reliable in his narration. He'll say Yahya, he's reliable in his transmissions, but when he got older, he started mixing them up. So be careful of his narrations when he was an old man. You can take him when he was a young man. He'll say, but Basim, he's weak in his transmission. He'll say, this guy over here is a liar. Don't take any of his transmissions. So here Abdullah ibn Mubarak was telling the people, leave the hadith of Amr ibn Thabit because he used to curse the Salaf. This man, Amr ibn Thabit, he was from the Tabi'een. If he used to curse the Salaf, who was he cursing, Akhi Abdul Rahman? He was from the Salaf. Akhi. Amr ibn Thabit. Right? Amr bin Thabit. He was from the Tabi'een. And he used to curse the Salaf. So read this hadith. So Amr bin Thabit, Abdullah bin Mubarak, he's from who? Abdullah. An Imam Muslim brought in his book that Abdullah bin Mubarak said that leave the hadith of Amr ibn Thabit because he used to curse the Salaf. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, that means that Amr bin Thabit, right? Abdullah ibn Mubarak is from who? It means
Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, read the hadith of Amr ibn Thabit. Amr ibn Thabit used to curse the Salaf, and Amr ibn Thabit was from the Tabi'een, so therefore, he was cursing the companions. Ikhwan, what did we want with all of that repetition? We wanted to show you that this term is not strange. This term is not new, even though it's new to the people. Even though it's new to the people, when you say Salafi and they hate it, it's not new to the people of the past.
The Muhajirin are those people who accepted Islam in Mecca and then they made their hijrah to Medina. The people who were originally from Mecca and they went to Medina on their hijrah, they're called the Muhajirin. And the people who accepted Islam and they were already in Medina and from the people of Medina, they were called the Ansar or the Helpers. Those people, when the Muhajirin came to them, they opened up their arms, their doors, and their pockets for those people. So Allah Ta'ala in this ayah says, those people who specified and identified them, and those people who follow them in good, Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. And then Allah established that they will be in paradise. Allah established that the Sahabas are going to be in paradise. And then, hal anta min ahli al-jannah? Are you from the people of paradise? Now, he said, I hope Allah will make me from them. Ahmed, are you from the people of paradise?
Allah knows better.
No one from amongst us can say, I'm in paradise or I'm in the hellfire. What we can say is, all of us have a place prepared for us in paradise and another place prepared already in the hellfire. All of us, we have a chair waiting for us. Your name is on it. And your actions and your iman and what Allah has decreed upon you will determine which chair you'll occupy. If you do the righteous deeds and you wind up from the people of paradise, you'll go there and you'll wear your silk and your gold and you'll drink and you'll have all of those pleasures. But your place in the hellfire will be missing. There will be a place that's missing. His place is open in the paradise. Allah will give someone that reward in the paradise. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to save us from the hellfire. Here's the point that we're trying to make, Sayyidul Islam, Jazakallahu Khairah, is Allah establishes that they all are in paradise. Why? Because He's pleased with them and they were pleased with Him. Now the reason, Ikhwan, Allah tells us in the Quran about the people of Fir'aun and the people of Ad and the people of Thamud and the people of Al-Aika and the people of Tubba. The reason why Allah tells us about all of these people is so that we will know. If you do what these people did, Allah will do with you what He did with those people. If you do good, Allah will do with you and reward you the way He did with the good people. If you do evil, Allah will reward you the way He rewarded the evil people. So similarly, if Allah is pleased with those companions, this ayah is telling us, if you do what they did, Allah will be pleased with you. If you understand the Quran and the Sunnah and you practice and apply the way they did, Allah will be pleased with you. So, you came late and now you're preventing the brother from doing good. They have an Arabic saying. That Arabic saying, and our teacher used to say this to us all the time. He used to say, أَحَشِفًا وَسُّوُ الْكِيلَ. You know, the bad dates in Ramadan, the worst dates that everybody leave them on the floor and everybody eat them. Because they all messed up, old, they look like they got worms in it, they dry, no one eats them. They call that kind of date the hafish. It's old. It's old. Everybody leaves it. That's what hafish. This statement is a hafish with su'ul kila. And the su'ul kila is the bad measurement someone gives you. So I go to the store, to the date man, and he gives me those ugly old dates. And on top of that, he doesn't give me the price that I'm paying for. I want a kilo, he gives me a little less than a kilo. So he gave me two bad things, the bad date and the weight that I don't deserve. So our teacher used to say to the one who came late, that's the bad date that you came late. And now you're talking. That's the bad weight that you gave me. So Daoud came late and he took the man's notebook.
Don't be sensitive. So, Ikhwan, back to the point. Back to the point. No, you know what? Dawood can handle it. That's why we want to teach you at Dawood's expense. Because I know Dawood will continue to love one another. And the people around will learn. And that's why when Umar used to do something wrong, Rasulullah would be harsh. When Umar brought the parchment with the Jewish thing on it, the Torah, he said to Umar, "Amutahawwiqun anta ya ibn Khattab? Are you a coward now? Are you in doubt now?" That's a strong statement. Are you in doubt from what I brought? He knew that Umar can handle the criticism. But then the Bedouin, who urinated in the masjid and deserved to be dealt with, maybe he couldn't handle it. He'll run away and say, "Muhammad beat people up when they do wrong." Like the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Salami, who was praying with the people, and he was in the ranks behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sneezed, hachu, while he was praying. He said, "Alhamdulillah." The people next to him were doing like this. Stop talking. And he kept saying, "Alhamdulillah," wanting the people to say, "Yarhamakallah," in the salah. Then he just screamed out, "Wa sakalatkum ummahatakum. May your mothers lose all of you." Simply because they didn't say to him, "Yarhamakallah." After that, Rasulullah said to him after the salam, "Verily, the salah was not designed for people to talk in it and people to do these things, but these salat are for the tasbih and the dhikr of Allah and so forth." So he, in describing the Prophet's behavior, he said, "Wallahi, I never saw a teacher like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I did what I did and he didn't hit me, nor did he curse me, nor did he speak harshly to me." And he went on to tell the hadith. So here's a man who can't handle being criticized in the public. But there was another man, Umar, who can handle it. So that's why we said to Dawood that statement, "Jazakallahu khairan," because he came anyway, even though he was late. So he's better than the people who didn't come, right? So now, Ikhwan, we're going to go through the sunnah. We're going to be done with this, inshallah. We're going to go through this very quickly, because I think you guys have the point from the Quran. The hadith, number one, here, Sayyid al-Islam. What are we trying to prove with this next hadith? Yeah, that we're going to do what? We're going to strengthen those ayat with these hadiths, Quran and Sunnah. What are we trying to prove?
We will show that indeed that in the hadith that those who are the servants of the companions of Prophet.
Right. If you want to practice Islam, you have to take this Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the way of the sect. The first hadith, Ikhwan, is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. The companion, his name is Abdullah ibn Amr, A-M-R. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, understand this hadith, it's a long hadith. The Prophet said, "What happened to Bani Israel is going to happen to my ummah just as one shoe resembles the other shoe." To the point, if a man had sexual intercourse with his mother in the street, there would be people from my ummah who would do the same exact thing. Then he went on to say in the same hadith, فَافْتَرَقَتِ الْيَهُودِ فَافْتَرَقَتْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِلَى اثْنَتَيْنِ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي إِلَى 73 فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً فَقَالُوا وَمَا هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ الَّتِي عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِ. The Prophet said at the end of his hadith, "Verily, Bani Israel split up into 72 groups or sects: Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Pentecostals, Jewish, Yahudis, everything, 72 different sects. And verily, my ummah was split up into 73 different sects. Shiite, Mu'tazili, Sufi, Tablighi. And my group, my ummah, was split up into 73 sects. All of those sects will be in the hellfire except one. 72 from this ummah will be in the hellfire except one. The 73rd. The companion said, who is that? Which one will be saved? He said, the one that is doing what I'm doing today and my companion. He could have just said, the sect that's following my sunnah. He said, no. The sect, the people are doing what I'm doing today and my companion. You understand, Salman?
No. I understand.
I didn't write where it came from, but I can get back to you. It's authentic, and I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. The next proof, number two, from the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ثم يجي أقوام تسبق شهادة أحدهم يمينه ويمينه شهادته. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the best people are those who are in my generation, and then after them the ones who come after that generation, and then the ones who come after that generation. You got that? The best people are those people who are in my generation. Who are the people who are in the generation of the Prophet? Ya Allah. The Sahaba. The best people are those who are from my generation. And then those who came after them. Who are the people who came after the Sahaba? The Tabi'een. And then those in the next generation. The followers of the Tabi'een. So those are the first three generations, the first 300 years of Islam. Then the Prophet went on to say, and then there will come a group of people whose witness will precede, you know, them being axed. Before being axed, they'll start swearing by Allah, they'll start swearing that it happened, they'll give you the yameen, and they're not even asked to do that, but that's how they'll do it. Meaning that the people won't be as good as the prior people. So this hadith establishes that the best generation is the generation that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to. And that only makes sense, Ikhwan Allah, it only makes sense. They're the ones who the Qur'an is being revealed upon. They're the ones who the Qur'an is being revealed because of them. This happened to the Qur'an revealed. So you think that you're going to know more about that issue than they knew, and it was about them, and it happened because of them? Of course they're going to know more. Their language was better, their sincerity was more, their environment and condition was better, healthier. We, all of us, as I look around, we're all fuqara, all of us are poor, all of us. But along with that poverty that we have, we all have enough things in our lives that keep us all distracted and prevent us from being pious people. Whether it's your women, your children, your job, all of us have enough in our lives and we're poor. Whereas those people in the past, they were poorer than we are now. They were less, they didn't have the technology that we have now, but they were much more pious than we were. So it's clear, if they're the best generation. So if they're the best generation, you have to follow what they're following. The last hadith is the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariya. He said that the Prophet ﷺ gave us an exhortation that caused the eyes to shed tears and caused the heart to become afraid. So we say, Ya Rasulullah, this is as if you're giving us a farewell speech, as if you're about to die or leave us. Why are you talking like this? He said, give us some advice. He said, I advise you to fear Allah and to listen and obey the leader, even if he has a raisin head. Meaning even if it's a black man, you don't even want him to be your leader, you Arab. This is a bad thing to you. Even if from the worst of the people, if he becomes the leader, listen and obey him. Why? Because there's more benefit in listening to him than it is in going against him and revolting. For verily, those from amongst you who live for a long time, you're going to see a lot of ikhtilaf, a lot of difference. Can we celebrate the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can you pray the second Jama'ah? Does Allah have a hand? Did the Prophet see Allah when he went to Jannah? Can you cut your beard? Can you trim your beard? Can you wear something below the ankle bone? You're going to see those. So he said what? Not just hold on to my sunnah, but to the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Those ayat are from the sunnah. Now I just want to give you guys two statements of the companions and we'll finish with this. That hadith is in Tirmidhi and other than Tirmidhi.
When you say statements in the companions, is this an athar or a hadith?
We're going to give you the statement of the companions now. As-Sariya, Irbab ibn Sariya, wa'adana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'idatan balighatan, wajilat minha al-qulub, wadharafat minha al-uyun, فكنا يا رسول الله كأن هذه موعدة مودع فأوصنا قال أوصيكم بالتقوى الله والسمع والطاعة وإن تأمر عليكم عبد حبشي فإنه من يعيش منكم فسير اختلاف كثيرا فعليكم بالسنة وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. Hold on to it with your molar. Now we're going to give you the statements of the companions and we're going to finish with this. The companions are telling you why you have to take their way. Anas ibn Malik said, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْمَلُونَ أَعْمَالًا هِيَ أَدَقُّ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ كنا نعدها على أهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الموبقات. This is in Sahih Bukhari. And it said to the Tabi'een, he said to the Tabi'een, verily you people from the Tabi'een, you were doing actions and deeds that they are smaller in your eyesight. They are minute in your eyesight. They are smaller than the hair. We used to consider those things that you're doing during our time, during the Prophet's time, as the major sins, the major things that would destroy you. Anas ibn Malik said to his students, to the Tabi'een, you people do actions and deeds that are smaller, they're insignificant in your eyes, in your sight. You see them smaller than the hair. We used to view them during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being the thing that would destroy a person. What would he say about now? The companions used to see the leaving of the salah intentionally as kufr. A man intentionally doesn't get up and pray. The companions said, we did not see the leaving of any action kufr, except the one who left salah. If a man left giving off sadaqah, if a man left giving off salam, if a man left giving off hajj, meaning he didn't say it's no good, he just didn't do it. They didn't see that as being disbelief. They saw him as being just, you know, an evil man. They said though, we used to consider the man who left the salah as a kafir. We used to look at that as kufr. People have left the salah as an ummah today. What do you mean? You think that I'm talking about salat all the time? No. When you wake up and we be tired and we turn back over. It happens to everybody. You wake up because you went to bed late last night and you can get up in time. But you turn back over and you go to sleep. They used to look at that as kufr. And some of the scholars say whoever does that, he has to say the shahada again in front of two witnesses.
Hit hard on Swerve.
Because you left Islam.
They hit hard.
In the real. Some of the scholars now say that?
In the past as well.
Why they didn't want to be a witness?
That's the statement of Anas ibn Malik.
I'm not going to hear it.
Now the next statement of the companion is the hadith that's in Bukhari and Muslim. The authority of Hudayth ibn Yaman, and it's a long hadith, I'll shorten it, we're going to finish at 5 o'clock inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companions, he said there will be 70,000 people from my ummah who will enter into paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. And then he got up and he left and went into his house. He said there will be 70,000 people from my ummah who will enter into the Jannah without being punished and without being asked, why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? And he got up and he left. The companions sat amongst themselves and they started asking one another, who do you think those people are? Those 70,000 people, who do you think they are? The first thing that they said, لَعَلَّهُمْ الَّذِينَ سَحَبُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. They are the people who were the companions of Rasulullah. They said, it has to be us. Look at all the sacrifice we made. It has to be us. The other one said, maybe it's the people who accepted Islam and they never made shirk. They're not like us. Maybe it's not us. Let's not be of the people who pat themselves on the back. Maybe it's the people not like us. We used to make shirk and kufr with Allah. Maybe it's the people like our children who came into Islam and they never made shirk. Rasulullah came out, he said, what are you guys, what are you people guessing about? They told him what he said. He said, those 70,000 people are the people who don't ask other people to read upon them when they're sick. They don't ask other people to do the ruqyah. They do the ruqyah on themselves, but they don't ask other people to do it, to read on them when he's sick. And they do not have superstition. And they depend on Allah. And another narration says, they don't burn themselves. The last form of curing yourself should be al-kayf. As the Arabs used to say, akhir ad-dawa al-kayf. The last medicine should be to burn yourself. You can burn a disease out of you. You have a fever or malaria, meningitis. The way they used to get that out of you was they would burn you. But because this is in the manner of this body, you shouldn't deform it and deface it. And also we say, this is how divorce is. For those brothers who are married, just as the last type of medication is burning yourself, the last step in trying to solve your marital problems is divorce. Don't run to divorce right away. That's the first thing. No, the divorce is like burning yourself. Let it be the last thing. Prior to that, do other things. So that hadith shows us the fiqh of the Sahabas who were scholars. They said, when they thought about the virtues and the virtuous people, they said, this has to be us. So that shows that they are the best of the people. And the last hadith, ikhwan, or the last statement of the companions, is the beautiful statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This hadith, or this asr, this statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is tremendous. Wallahi. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was from the scholars of the Sahaba, he said, pay attention, it's a long hadith. He said, verily Allah looked into the hearts of his servants. And he found the best heart of the servants, the heart of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he chose and made Muhammad his messenger, and he sent him with his message. And then Allah looked into the heart of the servants, asked to look into the heart of Muhammad, and he found the best heart of the servants after Muhammad is the heart of his companions. So he made them his helpers and ministers. So whatever the companions see as being good, then it is good with Allah. And whatever those companions see as being evil, then it is evil with Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ إِلَى قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ فَوَجَدَ خَيْرَ قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ قَلْبَ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَاصْطَفَاهُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَابْتَعَثَهُ بِرِسَالَتِهِ ثم نظر الله إلى قلوب العباد بعد قلب محمد فوجد خير قلوب العباد قلوب أصحابه فجعلهم أمراؤه ووزراؤه يقاتلون على دينه فما رآه المسلمون يعني الصحابة فما رآه المسلمون حسنا هو عند الله حسن وما رآه المسلمون قبيحا فهو عند الله قبيح. This is what we have to present today. We give you brothers 15 minutes inshallah to ask any questions that you have, any misunderstandings that you have, any comments that you have related to the issue. Tafaddal.
I can ask about the response. You had given the literal meaning of the word Salafah, which is son of Arab, as being anyone who precedes you, and the word Salafah Saleh is those who preceded us from the Tabi'in and on, so to the Sahaba, to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are the ones that we follow, so it's good that we make it clear that when we hear the word Salaf, it doesn't mean we just follow anyone from the Salaf, because literally it means those who preceded us. So my grandfather was a Kafir, but he's of the Salaf.
I think that's a good point.
When do we draw the point? I think that's a good point.
When it was mentioned before, you remember the word as Salaf al-Salih. There was an adjective that was added on to that. As Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors. And the righteous predecessors are those people who are upon the haq. They were people like Amr ibn Thabit. Who was Amr ibn Thabit? And Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, leave the hadith of Amr ibn Thabit. Why, Abdul Karim? He used to curse the Salaf, the companions. So Amr ibn Thabit was from the Tabi'een. Do we say that he's from the Salafi Salafi? No. He's not from the Salaf al-Salih. And even though he preceded us, and people who are like that, they are Khalafi. Even though they preceded us. And Khalafi is the opposite of Salafi. And that they are Khalafi, meaning they are against what those people who went before were about. So simply because a person comes before you, it doesn't make him automatically a person to be followed, a person who we are trying to imitate and emulate his beliefs. No, the people who are upon the haq, the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors. Any more questions, Ikhwan? Any more questions? So therefore, if I ask the question now, you guys understand, right? Ahmed, without looking at your paper, everybody's looking now. I see you, I have peripheral vision as well. Ahmed, without looking at your paper, give me a proof from the Quran that shows you have to understand the Islam, the Quran, and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf. From the Quran or the Sunnah, either one.
Well, from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in number 9, ayah 137, one of the proofs why we should follow the way of the Sun. It states, I don't know exactly what it says, but it says there, in the Quran, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah 9, ayah 137,
Yes, okay.
And it was another one too, but another proof of why we should find the way of the Salaf. It was Surah Al-Nisa.
That's how you do on the member when you forget what the next point was. You say, and Allah said in the Quran. And the Quran is from Allah, you know that, right? Was revealed to Muhammad. Until it comes, you give another khutbah inside of the khutbah until you come to it, and then you just catch it and you get it in there like that.
I
I'm just trying to make sure I remember it. Ayat Surah At-Tawbah, Ayat 100. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار. The first vanguard of Islam from the Muhajirin and the Ansar and the people who followed them, Allah is pleased with them and He is pleased with they are pleased with Him. What's the point of proof from that ayah? How does that ayah show what we're trying to say? Abdul Rahman,
that the Ansar and the Muhajirin, they were the Ansar were the people who accepted Islam after they came from Medina, right?
They're in Medina.
Yeah, and then the Muhajirin is the one that came and accepted Islam.
Right.
And those are the Sahabas.
Right.
And Allah says that He is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and that means if Allah is pleased with the Sahabas, then if we follow what they were upon, then we will be following pleased with
us. No, that's good, Ahi. That's real good. MashaAllah. So, هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله.